Lord said, you treat my word like it's optional.
Wow.
Like it's a suggestion. We are the only part of creation that uses our gift from him of freedom of thought, freedom of choice, to relegate his word to an optional or suggestive place.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to today's what's going to be a seriously special conversation in this week's episode of Live Your Best Life with me, Liz Wright. And my beautiful guest joining me for today's conversation is a woman that's been walking in ministry for 20 years. She's a wife, she's a mum of four. She has poured out in all different aspects of ministry, and she is now currently a pastor in one of my happy places in the world, in Bethel, in the BSSM, the School of Supernatural, and also in other areas within the church ministry. She's honestly, when you hear her speak, what happens is you begin to hear and experience the presence in the heart of Jesus. And people literally get shifted into breakthrough, into their purpose, into a greater understanding of who we actually are as royalty, and into breakthrough in their lives. And she is filled from her own journey, her own walk. Everything she shares is from an authentic experience, understanding of the word of God and the ways of the King. So be expectant. You are going to, for the next 30 minutes of your life, you're going to begin to experience transformational truth in the presence of God from a very authentic woman of God. It's my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Jamiel Page. Jamiel, welcome.
Hi. So good to see you.
Oh,
so good
it's so
to
good
be
to...
here. Thanks for
it's
having me.
So good to have you on with us. So I wanted to start by saying to you, I have been officially wrecked by watching one of your recent sessions in the Wonder Conference in Bethel and Redding, California, where you began to speak on the anatomy of breakthrough, which is really, for me, it was all about understanding the ways of the heart of the King.
Yes.
The heart and the wisdom of God to walk victoriously, not just intermittently getting breakthrough, but as a lifestyle. So it was very profound. And what I wanted to share with you, which you don't know, is that the last time I spoke in America, I had a profound experience with Jesus. And some of you will remember me sharing this quite recently. But in the experience, without going into all the detail, but the part that connects to the message that you're carrying that was so empowering for me to listen to, so exciting, was that I received from Jesus what he called the golden yoke of the King. And it was literally as this grace, this empowerment mantle came over me, I was activated into an experience to be, it was like being walking with a rabbi, you know, where in ancient Israel, they would have been yoked to a rabbi, walking as the rabbi walked and understanding his ways, knowing him intimately. It was that level of capacity to be tuned in and tutored by the heart of the King.
Yes.
In the ways of the King.
Come on.
And then the Lord released it, and there was this holy chaos as Holy Spirit took over and people were being activated into this experience, and the fruit, the testimonies that we've been hearing about, literally Jesus on the inside tutoring people, slowing down their internal reactions and responses in real time, bringing people back in step with his heart, with his ways, so that we can conduct ourselves supernaturally as royalty and begin to move, you know, in a different level of power and authority because of it. So all that to say, I'm super excited because when I was listening to you, you are teaching the ways of the King. You're teaching so that through this supernatural yoking that we have with our King now, we can actually move into this different level of awakened experiences, royalty, and breakthrough for our lives. So I wanted to ask you, jumping off, can you begin to share with us the what you view are the essential components parts of the anatomy of breakthrough, like the ways of the king that shift us from drama and storm into regal authority and breakthrough. Can we go there to begin with?
So the components, I feel like, man, first of all, that encounter just sounds like heaven. I was just wafting the glory of it still emanates from you. But the first thing that I knew needed to be etched or defined for anyone who is in pursuit of breakthrough or praying for breakthrough is you need to have a healthy understanding of the power and the essence of the Word of God. And I'm not only limiting myself to one form of the word. So there's the written word, there's the spoken word, there's the living word, meaning, Jesus. And so we need to understand that the building blocks of all creation, the building blocks of every breakthrough is a healthy understanding of the essence of the Word of God. And the essence of the Word of God is that it is creative. And we think that word means, oh, it creates pretty art, No, it creates all things. It in being uttered, in being expressed, whatever form that takes, it is the power to actualize, to create the thing that the Lord intends to see or to enact. And so, I remember when it was January this year, the Lord said, "You treat my word like it's optional, like it's a suggestion." We are the only part of creation that uses our gift from Him of freedom of thought, freedom of choice, to relegate His word to an optional or suggestive place. And he said, "My word is not optional. Go back to Genesis. As soon as I speak, the particles involved to accomplish the thing that I sent my word to do begin to shift into motion. And the gift of our free will, the gift of our ability to choose, was always meant to be used in tandem with our relationship with God. Your word is creative. Great. Let me align myself with what you are speaking so that I can help to facilitate it in the earth." And I mean, that's fundamental. We have to understand his word creates. As soon as it leaves his person, his as soon as it is expressed, in it is all the power to accomplish what it is directed toward. And we see that in Isaiah, "My word will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish everything for which I sent it." And then you jump into the New Testament, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Well, what is he saying? He's saying that I can take anything you hand me because my word is creative, and I can work it all and interconnect it all. So there is no excuse for us living beneath our royal means. We have a king whose resource is his word, and his word accomplishes everything.
It's so
Fundamental.
powerful, fundamental. Though we need it, I just feel like we need to take a moment and shift and just decide right now we are not going to view the word of God as optional. There's a call on your words. I can feel it. It's like a fresh honor for the word of God and recognition of the fact that, Genesis. It is all the way through scriptures, isn't it? He upholds all things by the power of his word. He's spoken, created, like over and over. And
He
what?
made himself synonymous with his word.
Yeah, he's the word. He's the word incarnate, right?
He elevated his word above his name, which is all powerful. Listen, we can
Come
go.
on, come on, come on, preach it, woman. There's such a lot of power and authority on what you're saying. It's a fundamental shift in the way we live and experience life, isn't it? He's spoken, created. We are made in his image. Therefore, we speak and create, right? The creative power of God is contained within his intention
Yes.
that comes out. That's the privilege of
Yes.
us being his body, right? We express
Yes.
him into the earth. Oh, I love what you just
Like,
said. And the molecules change. Like
even
everything.
right now, you talked
Right.
about the body. My words, right? They're like reverberating through me. My hands are expressing it. My face is expressed, like every part. And we are his body. We are meant to be expressions of the word, to be animated by it, to be empowered through it. Like, oh, yes, Lord, let your word shift me, move me, change me, redirect me, uphold me. Your word upholds me. Listen.
Yeah. Do we want to live in a reality framed up by any other source? It's like it's limited at best and destructive at worst. It's just not wisdom, is it? Right. And I think we're really awakening right now to realize afresh the wisdom and the brilliance of who our God is The privilege we have and the power we have as royalty walking in the earth, awakening to steward the grace and the power of the intention of the living God to bring kingdom on earth. There's such a dissatisfaction, isn't there, with religion now? People everywhere are just so frustrated with any other way of life than actually functioning as royalty.
Yes.
Yeah. We're his image. We're his image. Amen. Okay. Other components of the anatomy. So the foundation clearly is recognizing that the word of God, as you said, is not optional.
It's not
how all things are upheld and held together and came into existence. There's nothing in existence that wasn't created by the word, including one of us. We need to realize that.
That's
He's source, we're expression.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I remember when he gave me the revelation about our identity and who and how we were supposed to walk in that. And he talked to me about the players, like who are the people around us? Who are we meant to be in this? Who is he in this? And he took me to the book of Esther and began to show it to me in a way I'd never seen before. You know, so you read the very first chapter of the book. Can I just read like just the first verse? Okay.
It's turn super to powerful. It here.
But so I'm reading it and there are certain words that started to jump out at me. And I thought, I've heard someone else describe this way. And so you begin to understand who are the people that we are surrounded by and who are we, what is the context we live in? So now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the citadel, that in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all of his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. And certain words just flew off the page at me, like, I have heard the Lord described as having showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty. There are Psalms where David is singing to the Lord, telling him, you know, I will proclaim the riches of your glorious kingdom. And I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, did you mean to include this story to help us have a glimpse of yourself?
Wow. Come on. And it's so clear. Wow. Wow.
Think about when Samuel was the last judge of Israel and the people said, we want to be like the other nations. We want a king. And God's response wasn't, oh, you know, fine, I'll give you that. He says, no, they've rejected me, which means what? That he was a king to them. He was the one who declared the edicts that governed their At that point, it wasn't a nation, but their assembly, their governance was all through the declaration of the King, the Lord God, our Father, the Almighty. Every one of their laws came from what he wrote on Moses' tablets. Everything that they did in society came out of a structure he built through his word over them. And then you look at the other aspect of these first few scriptures and you see 180 days of gathering all of your princes and noblemen from all over your empire. And it was the largest empire at the time. So he's gathering all of the most important people for what purpose? It was the third year of his reign. 180 days is the length of the typical American school year. I used to work for a school district. And so I was one of the ones who would make sure that our programs, our curriculum were in compliance with that minimum requirement. It was a federal requirement that every school had to offer a minimum of 180 days of instruction. And when you think about how God instructs us, he instructs us in feasting, which was what he did. He had a feast of 180 days. And what was he demonstrating? He was demonstrating his glory. This is the nature of your king. When you go back to one of the 120 provinces where you are given authority, I want you to have this experience in mind so that all of my constituents in my kingdom have the same experience. He was doing quality assurance. This is what I want my noblemen, my royalty, to be like so that my people get an experience of me.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Is that not the kingdom?
Training the princes in the provinces to represent him well.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing with
us. And he does it through the revelation that you're saying of his majesty and his splendor. So we understand him.
Yes.
This is being yoked to the king, isn't it? This is being trained and discipled directly by the heart of God now. So we understand him. That's profound. You know what? I've never seen that in the book of Esther before. I've never read that first chapter that way. It's profound. And it's such a revelation of who our Father is and who Jesus is and what's happening to us.
Yes.
Right now, so we can take our position governmentally. What does that mean? It's exactly what you're teaching. It's about the revelation of who he is, so we can represent, reveal the king and his ways well and build the kingdom in the areas of influence that we have. Oh my gosh.
And we must understand, so if he's the king, then the other component is who we are. We are made in his likeness and in his image.
Yeah.
And most royalty, when you think about monarchs and all that, they are related by blood. Mm-hmm. That's a human form of likeness and image.
Yeah.
And the reason that they are trusted to be ladies and lords and barons and that sort of thing is because they are connected in that way. So you will look like me, which is more likely to mean that you are going to think like me. You will have been raised up in the same culture so that beyond my lifespan, you will continue my legacy. Right? Thankfully, we have a king who neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's eternal. He will outlive all of our lifetimes, and then we will join him after that. But we were always meant to be an image bearer of the Most High. We were always meant to carry, not just carry in a religious sense, but in a very real and practical sense, carry his nature and his image to the world around us. So yeah, this is this book that, we can't even condense it all into.
No, we need to do a school.
Yes.
The supernatural ways of royalty.
180 days.
Yes. I mean, really, this is how Holy Spirit's moving in the earth right now, isn't it? And it's so fast. Mm-hmm. What's happening to all of us. Okay, I want to ask you another question where you were sharing some of your own journey. And you were talking about how the Lord had said to you, you prayed but you didn't prepare.
Yes.
And I just thought, oh, that's massively important.
Yes.
So these are the ways of getting our breakthrough that you've just been sharing, obviously. But then there's also, right, now it's time to be intentional. If you ask me, believe me.
Yes.
So will you just go there a little bit more for us? Because I thought that was a hugely important lesson.
If you ask me, believe me, what does belief look like? It has a hallmark, a DNA. Belief, the DNA of belief is in our doing, is in our behavior, which of course, is matching our thinking. What are we meditating on? How are we reciting the word of God, the promises of God, the testimonies of God, so that we can be encouraged. Quite literally, have courage put into us to do the things that the Lord is asking us to do. Esther, you fast forward into her story. She's a queen. She's living in the palace. She's selected and chosen out of hundreds of ladies. And now this problem is presented to her. Your people are in peril. They are in danger. And we need a solution, and you're in the palace. Mordecai is speaking to her. He stands at the gates, but he doesn't have the access that she has. You can just walk down the hall into the king's throne room. Her first reaction was fear. So we see the world around us, problems happening around us, problems happening within our own homes or to us, and we ask ourselves, like, well, what are we going to do? The first thing is, oh, I don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do. You have access to his throne room. Hebrews 4:16, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy, yes, but also grace to do whatever it is that we are meant to do. And so I feel like that's where the church is right now. We are in a place where we're meant to realize that we are in the palace. We are not working toward it. Jesus, he busted us through the door and he said, live here. He
Yeah.
said, abide, dwell, live with me, be connected to this vine. And so now we have the right. We're an engrafted vine, part of the vine, and we have the right to have all the nutrients flow to us, but also to send signals back to the root and say, hey, this is what's happening on my part of the branch, and I don't like it. And as an image bearer who has access to you and can align myself with the word that creates, I must now put myself in the place to declare that word if you send it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, very, very powerfully put what you've just said. It's a huge, huge key. It's the other thing that I wanted to say to you is it was something else that you were sharing was to in the midst of that, recognizing that we are able to enjoy him. So know where we are, know that we have continual access and enjoy him, lavish him with our worship and our praise. Trusting him in the presence of our enemy, which is obviously what Esther did at the end of her story, where she got the victory, where she got the beginning of victory, which was then implemented. I just thought, yeah, it's so important, isn't it, to remember we are already home. We are already citizens of the throne room. We're connected. We're one glance away. And he's wanting to answer our prayers. He's listening all the time.
This is the Lord's response to us. If we would dare to believe, we have permission, access, and an authority to approach him on anything. In Esther 5:1, now it happened on the third day that Esther put her royal robes and put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace. Remember, this is uninvited. She approached him. She went into the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was, this is the king's response, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter, and the king said to her, What do you wish, Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. Where have we heard these words before? Well, New Testament Jesus, he says, whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will do for you. Why? That your joy might be full.
Yes.
He delights to respond to our prayers. He delights to do what we ask him to do. And I find that we have relegated prayer and the word of God to second best. We pursue the experience over the practice, the discipline. We are disciples. We pursue the experience over the discipline of constant and steady communion with the Lord through prayer, through reciting and reminding ourselves in his word of who he is. And he's saying, queen, bride of Christ, daughter, church, all of these things he's equated the church with, Esther. Esther is a story that gives a glimpse of God's purpose for the church, male and female. If a woman can say I'm a son of God, a man can say I'm an Esther.
Yeah, yeah.
Esther, representing the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, has the right to approach just like she did in chapter 5. And the Lord's response is always, because of Jesus now, is always, what do you wish? What is your request? Up to half the kingdom, I will do it for you.
Yeah.
And so now this is the hour where we begin to take hold of that promise, where every request now that we make of the Lord becomes a promise.
Yes. Oh, I
love
So
what are you
that.
Requesting, right? What are you requesting from the Lord?
Yeah.
As soon as you ask him, he says, done.
Yeah. 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 Like he said to you, you prayed, but you didn't prepare.
Yeah.
So just get ready to receive that which you prayed for. Because
the preparation is steeping yourself in this word, is spending time with him. I woke up this morning and I just said, hey, Lord, it's simple. It's so simple. And for me, when he talked about preparation, it was the fact that, wow, your word is not optional. There are things you're asking me to do every day. Jamila, I want you to make sure your schedule involves room for writing. Jamila, get ready. You're going to be asked to go here. I need you to study this scripture. Jamila, I need you to structure your family life so that they can be cared for, because you're about to step into a busy season and you're not going to be able to without a proper structure in place. Like the preparation. There were things the Lord was asking me to do for years that I thought was optional. And now that I'm in the middle or you know, in the middle of the beginning stages of these promises, I'm like scrambling to do what I had years to do before. So, prepare, pray, and prepare.
Prepare,
pray,
yeah, absolutely.
And do.
Yeah, yeah. And get ready for the breakthrough that is a
it's
sure
coming.
Thing. Yeah, it's coming. I love it. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. I wish we had 3 hours.
I know.
I got 50 other questions just from what you just said. But yeah, it's super powerful. These are the ways of the heart of God, aren't they? This is the privileged life we get to live now.
Yes.
In our partnership with him, where he has our back and all our prayers, you know, whatever you ask in my name, believing that you have it will be done for you.
Yes.
Just that's it. Oh, and so just to continually live in that constant expectation of his goodness, his answers, his perfect leadership in our lives, his partnership. So just in finishing, just got a couple of minutes left. Will you pray for people, particularly if they're stuck, you know, and because I know you guys will have been so empowered and listen to this over and over and get it into your spirit, because these are the keys to shift you forward into your purpose, into the breakthrough and the next level for you. But would you pray? Would you pray?
Yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Father and Jesus, for all of your goodness toward us. Lord God, I lift up the body to you, our beloved church to you, the church you love, the church you died for, to you, God, that you would visit us with truth, that you would permeate into the lives, the everyday lives of those who are living in turmoil or believing for breakthrough, living through hardship, God, and remind them of who you are. Remind them of your track record. Remind them that they are with you, that they are at the forefront of your mind always. Your thoughts are plentiful toward us. They are to give us futures and hope, Lord. And I pray that you would break into their everyday scenarios in this moment right now and remind them that there is no way that this ends without their victory. That there is no way that this ends without you shining forth as faithful and holy and sovereign and triumphant. I pray, Lord, that they would have encouragement by the Holy Spirit, that they would have a community around them that would remind them of your nature and what you've done. And I pray, God, for victory. I pray for victory in their lives, God, that every need would be met, that every area of their lives that needs your touch would begin to show your presence, your glory, that you are working on their behalf. And God, I thank you for the testimonies that will come out of us putting your word first, remembering that it is creative and that we are your bride. We are in your palace and you are holding the scepter out to us. Let our words and our lives align with you, so that your will in heaven would be accomplished here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
We agree. Wow. Holy, 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 holy. Wow. We agree. One final thing I just wanted to say to you all. When Jamila was praying, then what I really felt in the Lord's heart was him saying to you, who do you need him to be for you?
Come on.
In this moment, there is an aspect of who he is that he wants to reveal to your heart and to enable you to move forward from this place in your life with a greater degree of certainty and trust and capacity as you see him being the answer for you in the situation that you face. He's breakthrough.
Yes.
So, amen. Jamila, thank you so much for being with us and for all you're pouring out to the body of Christ. You're such a blessing.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Man, I've gotten to listen to the podcast and heard you walking us through encounter. We need so much more of that. And I just bless your ministry and what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I receive it. It's all about him, isn't it? The end
yes.
of the day. That's it. It's just all about the King.
Always.
Learning his heart, more and more of his heart and his ways and just revealing him. That's our life. Thank you so much. And guys, have the most amazing week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
God bless you.
Jesus spoke to me and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.